good Saturday afternoon.
Sunday.
Okay, off to a good start.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. That's as customary. Don't spit it out. You okay? That's the sound of Josh taking down. He's not a red wine type of person, folks.
Yeah, I don't really like red wine, but that's what we have.
Well, it's one of the options.
We have a lot of options.
We got a couple of beverage options here.
I think this is a thing. We started doing this last time where we just have too many drinks.
Yeah, the 30th at your house. Where
we had beer. We had two different kinds of beers, coffee and water.
We had a cart.
Yeah, we had a side table just for the show.
I think we should definitely have concierge. Concierge. I was missing something there.
Yeah.
But we definitely need a type of a server that comes by during the recording of the episode that, you know, offers us cheeses and crackers.
Oh, my God.
You know, one of those charcuterie plates.
Charcuterie.
So I'm trying to use two words so far in this episode that I don't actually normally use.
Plates of cheese and meat. Charcuterie.
That's the
charcuterie.
It's how you know you've made it.
Oh, yeah. That's when I knew I was around people who had more money than me when I would go to dinner with them and they would order a charcuterie plate.
Yes.
And that was what they got before they got the steak. I was like, oh my God.
Right. Exactly.
Is this what it's like to be rich and white?
Where are the jalapeno poppers?
Yeah. Why isn't there a table fries?
And I'll have the Cobb salad.
Yeah. Mm. This wine's not bad.
Yeah, I think, like we mentioned, cold wine, that's where you go.
Maybe that's my problem with red wine.
That it's usually warm.
It's warm.
It's usually a room temperature.
Yeah, which I think is the correct way to do it. I think whoever put this in.
No, you drink Zinfandel's cold for sure. What we have right now is a Kendall Jackson Vinter's Reserve is Zinfandel, California, from the year 2014.
It's artisanal quality. Says it on the back.
And I... Yeah, but you can't say it artisanal.
I think it's family-owned artisanal quality.
I'm going to look up if you can, drink this cold. Like,
oh, yeah, because we have a TV here. We can see Chill That Cab and the Zin and Merlot... To LA Times, it's got to be true.
I'm telling you, exactly. I think that's as good as a source as any, the top Google result.
Yeah.
No longer do you have to feel lucky.
Yeah.
You can just read the headline.
I do. I actually like that that's a thing now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily want to click on anything.
No.
I want the top. If I search for something on Google and it's not the top thing, it's not just like a paragraph they lifted out of another article.
Right.
I kind of don't want to. No. I don't think the answer exists.
I want in and out. Honestly, I want the answer during the keyword search.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it fills in
right
where they think you're trying to go.
Right.
And then you get a real look into the the current state.
Right. I like that WebMD also like does the card now in the Google search. So if I type in, not even WebMD.com, if I type in like foot pain, it just pops up the full card. And then
on Google, it'll pop
Google,
in the
and Google up. It'll, and it just like, so I can quickly Google whether or not I have cancer. And the answer is almost always yes.
Right. And
heel pain. It could be inflammation of the band of tough tissue. Right. Tissue.
Yeah. And it's definitely made more legitimate by the doctor who has, is presenting a model of a foot.
Yeah.
And a stethoscope. That's a nice, it's a nice touch.
Yeah.
I guess, you could say that Google is doing good at their jobs, I guess.
They're doing okay.
I mean, they've been Google doodling. I mean, they've been great. I forget which one. There was like a synthesizer one that was gnarly.
Wasn't it the anniversary of the 808?
Was it that? Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But I mean, hey, here or there. Let's get the things happening, right? Get the things happening.
Things are happening. They're, do you, when you When you say to somebody things are happening, do you think of the show?
I think of the show. Yeah, I can. I'd say that there's like a little ping that goes off in my head.
About an hour ago, I was talking to my mom and I said, yeah, I guess things are happening. And I was immediately like, oh, thank you.
And did you tell your mom that you were on your way to record?
I told her I was on my way up here. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What, did she say hello to me or anything? Did she get that thing I sent her? I did not. Okay, fine. I didn't send her anything.
Yeah.
But
she also didn't say hi.
We used to be close.
Friend of the show, Patrick, says hi, though.
Hey, Patrick. Hey, man.
Multiple, our only guest star.
I feel like it's too late to have any other guests, and we should just always refer to the one time.
Two times. I think Pat was on twice.
Yeah. Oh, he's on an abandoned episode.
Oh, right. He's on the missing Kanye episode. That's true.
Which will never reach your ears, listeners. But let me tell you, Josh and I went in there and we unpacked some truths.
Yeah. I dropped some knowledge about how important Kanye West is to music.
Yep. And we backed you up. I mean, we heard you out.
You listened to me. You didn't agree with me, but that's fine.
What I have to say is that you should really take your close friends and travel to Los Angeles and roll down the streets of Hollywood talking about Kanye West. Give it a shot. Give it, like, time box it to about 2 hours.
Yeah.
And just, you know, let the lights pass you by.
Yeah.
Flashing lights. If I can be relevant.
Yeah.
And just tell each other what Kanye West means to you.
Yeah. He means a lot.
You might learn a lot about your friends and your family.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you roll down Hollywood with the intention of talking about Kanye West, we can guarantee you that things are going to happen.
Things are going to happen. There's probably going to be a fight.
There's going to be at least, but there's also going to be a makeup. That's what his music's all about.
Yeah.
Making up, breaking up. But hey, you know what? He did not release music in the last like 6 months. He's going to at some point.
I hope so.
I think we should talk about who did.
Oh my God. Can we do music. Like, so...
I think we should. I mean, it's been 3 weeks since we got together.
Yeah.
And in between that 3 weeks, I've just been building a catalog of I need to talk to Josh about this.
Yeah.
I feel a way.
I think we have four records that we're both like kind of thinking about a lot.
Yep.
And
what's interesting is there are full albums, but then there's also just like one track record. I mean, he hasn't released an album, but the one and only Jaden Smith did release a record.
Single record, yeah.
Single song by the name of Batman.
Yeah, with the music video.
Oh, man.
That's insane.
I'm into it.
It's a cool video. As a film maker myself in Los Angeles, I look at that video and go, he shot on Hollywood Boulevard. That's crazy. He is a crazy person.
I mean, what's so crazy about that?
Well, I mean, just like permitting alone.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And if you like look at...
So does that mean it's expensive?
It's that's at so least crazy. Like just to be able to shoot on Hollywood and not get shut down. It's like that alone is like $700. Right. And like obviously, obviously Jaden's got that kind of money, but that's like that's like minimum. Like he's got to drop $700 just to be able to walk on the Hollywood Boulevard with a camera, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then, but also just the logistical. It's a very nice camera. It's shot anamorphic for the nerds out there. So he's got like a full camera rig, and he's kind of rapping so along with it. So he's got.
There's
got
to be a track somewhere.
There's music being played.
Right.
And he's on Hollywood Boulevard, like Hollywood and Highland.
Yeah.
Like over by the Grumman's Theater, across the street from the Alpha Capitan. I mean, it's the tourist spot.
And I would have given anything to be like just an extra right there. Just like.
Well, it's
because there's like extra type people. Like there's definitely like not. People weren't ready.
Yeah.
There was not a casting call for that. It doesn't seem.
No. You know? And you can't shut down. That's the other thing, too. You can't shut down Hollywood and Highland.
Right.
Like, you can. I mean, they probably shot at 11 o'clock at night or something.
Yeah, it's definitely a night shot.
But still, it is logistically, I look at it, I'm like, I am exhausted.
Oh, just from what it took to do that?
Yeah, just what it took to do that.
Right.
And
I mean,
like,
how many Teslas did he have in that video? I mean, at least 3 or 4.
Yeah, and those are probably his Teslas.
Yeah, right.
This Tesla here, we're watching. Tesla, like, which one is that? It's the that's like the SUV, the crossover, yeah. Right? Mm-mm-mm. But most importantly is he rolls up as Jaden Smith, as white Batman.
I think he's just I think it's
Batman in the white costume.
Batman in a white costume, but I don't think he's going to, like, as the story goes, you don't say, like, white Batman, or you don't say, like, when you have a different take on the character, uh-huh. You don't call it, like, you know, young Spider-Man or something like that. It's just that is Batman in this particular universe.
Okay, yeah, you know? Okay. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So I don't know, like, it's, I just think that he should just hang out like this from now on.
Yeah. You're but like, look at that. Like, so A, they have to blur everything out yeah. because he's right in front of Ripley's. Like he's, you know, he's got to blur all the like normal people that mm-hmm. are there. He's got to blur all of them out. He's like, I know that gift shop. That's Mel's Diner there on the left.
Oh, Mel's Diner. Have we ever been to Mel's Diner?
You and I have never been to Mel's Diner. But like, look, then there's Superman and actual Batman, real Batman, as far as exactly. I'm concerned.
I like how it's actual Batman.
It's actual Batman. But it's like their faces are blurred, mm-hmm. but like the logo's blurred because you can't actually use Batman.
Oh.
Because like, you know, you'd have to get Marvel, DC. Right? Or, DC yeah, would DC, have to DC. Give you. But there's also Spider-Man is in this video.
Yes, exactly.
So it's super confusing.
Right.
But like, so my question is, did he hire a Batman?
I don't think, no. I don't think
that's the normal Batman.
That's usually there
at like 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Exactly. That is 10 o'clock Batman.
Then
we're going to get 10 o'clock Batman. We're going to get 8 o'clock Spider-Man. Yo, we all going to meet at the, corner. Yo.
What's my favorite thing about this video?
Yeah.
So Spider-Man's in the video, right? And he's dancing.
Yeah.
Spider-Man is doing the Superman dance.
Oh my! You know
that. What was that rapper's name who did the Superman song?
Superman that ho.
Yeah,
and watch me. Oh no! Listeners are gonna fall off. They're gonna be like, these guys are trash.
Yeah, but like Spider-Man is doing the Superman song mm-hmm. dance, and then Superman's in the video, but he's not doing it.
Right.
It's right. Soulja Boy.
Soulja Boy told him. Right. Exactly. How could we forget that?
Easy.
The one. Easily. That was kind of mean. I really like the track. I love the production on it. Did you tell me who produced it? I forget.
Yeah, I forgot. Go back to the video there. It's Omar something is the guy who did it. Omar Rambert.
Oh, word.
Rambert.
Yo, man, producers, they're running the game. They're making everything sound so freaking good.
Yeah.
I love the song anyway.
It's good.
In any case.
Jaden's the greatest of all time.
Yo, man, I pumped it to like a few people. Like when you sent me the video.
Yeah.
I immediately put it on and then just got my copy pasta fingers ready because usually if something like this breaks, I'm like, you get it. And I just start like 8 conversations on it.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of came back to me like, yo, dog, you like Jaden? I'm like, listen, Jaden loves you. You don't love Jaden.
Look, I'm just saying Jaden Smith. And I sent you, there was somebody on Reddit who, it wasn't me, I swear to God it wasn't me, who commented on the music, on the thread for this video, guys, Jaden Smith is going to be the greatest rapper of all time.
I mean,
and that wasn't me. So I just want you to know there's 2 people on this planet who are pretty sure Jaden Smith is going to be the greatest rapper of all time.
How old is he? He's got time.
He's like, I don't know, he's got to be 19, 20.
Still a teenager?
Let's see, I'm Jaden.
Not into that.
Smith.
I mean, I am into it, but
he's maybe
Batman. I'm not on the internet. That shit might fly off the shelf. I think he just also like, I know, of course he's an artist and he cares, but he's not like pushing the rapper agenda. Like
he's 18. He turns 19 in 6 days. Happy birthday, Jaden.
Yo, Jaden.
Happy birthday, man.
This one's for you, dog. Yo, hashtags.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got to talk about Jaden. I've been bottling it up. I've been
you've been
like the past 3 weeks.
For some reason in the last 2 weeks,
all new fashion.
Normally we talk too much about music.
True.
Over the text messages. True. And then this like 3 week period, you're like, I'm going to bottle this up for the show.
I have.
And we haven't, like, there's been some big releases that we haven't talked about.
I bottled it up. And I'm, you know, we softballed it. You know, we're getting to a build because where do you want to go next? There's a couple different directions.
I think we can talk very quickly. Let's talk about Vince Staples because that was the first release.
Yes.
In order.
Absolutely.
So
Big Fish Theory.
Big Fish Theory. Yeah, thank you.
Damn.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Vince Staples is really talented.
I think he's super talented. And then he's also very, he's got a hook, like a direction.
Yeah.
Like a lane, maybe you would call it that.
Yeah.
And, I'm way down with his lane.
It's one of the more unique records I've heard, in a long time.
Like sonically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like any other hip hop record.
Nope. Which is like,
which is cool. Which exactly. is like what I dig.
Definitely carving his own. Is there a video that we can?
There's a couple of videos that are. Yeah. I think there's probably going to be a new Big Fish is a cool video. Mm-hmm. I think there's going to be a video for the first track that I think Nabil's doing.
Right. I mean, there's got to be one for the Kendrick song as well. Yeah, right?
Maybe, yeah.
There has to be. I mean, I hope there is.
I think there's a trend, and I think Beyonce kind of started this, of just doing a music video for every song.
Oh, yeah, yep.
Just kind of...
like putting a visual with every song?
Yeah. I mean, it's expensive, but videos... for a long time, music videos died. The budgets went down. So
budgets went down. People didn't know where to watch them.
People didn't know where to watch them.
Yeah. Once MTV like basically mm-hmm. wasn't for that, and Fuse kind of like mm-hmm. carried the torch for a while.
Yeah.
But we stopped using. It's the internet. It's the age of basically cable cutting.
Yeah.
So what are you gonna watch? Music videos on YouTube?
And yeah.
I mean, the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But people weren't immediately doing that.
Yeah. And now people are like, you know, let's, and I think maybe even Lady Gaga and Beyonce kind of like made music videos interesting again. And I think that made,
well, who was that one? Who was the biggest breakout YouTube star about 5 or 6 years ago with Gangnam Style?
Oh, Psy.
Psy. Like, I feel like that breaking of the internet with that video,
yeah.
because along with the song stood very well on its own.
Yeah, because it's excellent.
It's really good. But the video is sexcellent.
Like, yeah, it's really fun.
So, yeah, I'm like, videos have been, I don't know, man, whoever is on Vince's team, like, they've got the vision.
You know, and he's an LA dude, and I think he's tied in with a lot of those LA guys. He's from like Long Beach or something.
Right.
So, exactly. You know, it's easy. It's easy to have really talented filmmakers around you when you are from and in Los Angeles.
Right.
I mean, I'm very excited for BAPS to start releasing music.
Oh, shoot.
Because J. Cole, not the rapper, is going to be.
Yeah, you got to be.
Oh, my God. Can I be J. Cole, not the rapper? Like Chance the Rapper? Yes, J. Cole, not the rapper.
I do think that I have been thinking about how to credit you with things. It's gotta be J. Cole in some kind of fashion.
I know. I don't know this is a constant theme in the show. I don't know what my name is anymore. I was thinking about this yesterday. So we're playing Diablo, right?
Yeah.
And I made my new character and every,
by the way, big moment on the show, everyone, I have purchased a PS4. Woo. I will pass out my gamer tag. A lot of times people put out their Twitter handle at the end of this show. I'll give out my gamer tag.
Oh, it's a little tease. Yes, wait, hold on, for this.
Oh,
yeah, that was good sound design.
Big moment. Sound design. that's things are gonna happen. Sound design. Yeah.
I was making my new character for us to play, and my character in Diablo for 5 years now has been J. Cole.
Yeah.
And today or yesterday when I was making the character to play with you, I was like, I typed in J. Cole and I was like, fuck, are you kidding me?
Yep.
Come on.
Yep.
So now I have to like change my entire life.
I know you do have to, I'm sorry that you have to change your life over a game. But I mean, I've had an identity crisis when it comes to usernames.
Yeah.
I'm trying to change everything over to the BAPS moniker.
Right. And you've been Stay Cassiopeia since we were kids.
15. Right. Exactly. And, it's worked out. Instagram worked out, Twitter worked out,
yeah.
But, PS, PS Network was not about it. Like, it's not that it was taken. It's just that
I wonder if it was like the repeated letters or something.
I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, it's very strange.
All right. But hey, you know, guys, we're playing Diablo 3 right now. Necromancer just came out.
Yeah.
Beautiful game.
Y'all want to roll with us?
Y'all want to roll with the crew?
What's your favorite record? I already know what your favorite
track is. Yeah, you already know it's Yeah Right. Like, honestly, when Yeah Right hit, I mean, okay. Yeah Right had two moments of revelation.
Uh-huh.
Three. It had three moments.
Okay.
Because the song starts out with just these really, like you said, it's sonically different from anything that we've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
So just right off the bat with that, I was into it because there's not a snare. There's not like a, yes, there is like an 808-ish type sound.
Isn't that the entire sound? Seems like that.
It's yeah.
That,
it's yeah. The that, big boom.
Yeah. The big right. boom.
So there's
the big, flume, the flume booms.
Flume boom. Oh, we should sell that to him. Yo, Sophie Flume, look us up.
Yeah.
We want to help you guys out. But I mean, yo, again, with the producers, you said Sophie, right? Or
I think that's who it is.
Yeah. I forget his actual name, but just really ripped this track to shreds with the instrumentation.
Yeah.
And then like the subject matter of the song, like, is so, I've been bumping it in my 2010 Prius with the JBLs. You know me. You see me with the 12-inch wheels.
Yeah. And with them 12s.
I rap along to it, and I believe in everything that he's also saying. It's like, I'm not only saying it because it's cool, but yeah. Like, boy, yeah, right. And then the break in the middle after his second verse with the sample. I don't know what sample is that.
I don't know.
We can look it up later. You know, just kind of comes out of left field. And then the coming of Jesus. Because you play a song. There's a difference between reading the track listing and uh-huh. seeing the name.
Uh-huh.
And then you can kind of infer.
Yeah.
But if you have it on, kind of like how we listen to albums, mm-hmm. like you put it on and then you're doing something else.
Yeah.
And then his voice comes in.
Yeah. Yeah. Kendrick Lamar. I think I said to you, like, he comes in through that song like a sword. Like, he just swipes his way into that song, and it's like, holy shit, he is so good.
And it's off the beat. Like, it's off, like, he comes in off of the chunky beat.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you do that and make it make sense?
Yeah.
And because you should come in right as it hits.
Right.
He comes
right
in
on
before.
The one. Yeah.
And then, like, the song becomes his.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, not only did I agree with everything that Vince just said.
Yeah.
Kendrick is going to back him up and just slay throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
One of the strongest. I went immediately to our hip hop heads and was like, who else is talking about this?
Oh, yeah.
Who else is talking?
Yeah.
And I found the greatest reaction video. I think its name is Quince. Big Quint. I always, as a recommendation, you guys should follow Big Quint.
Okay.
Like, as an Instagram of the week, maybe. But Big Quint has big reactions.
Okay.
And he's just a large man who like, sits at his desk.
Oh, this guy.
You can, do you know him?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. It's so good. But you can just see him get into the track.
Yeah. Yeah, I like this guy. He's funny.
But what are your standout tracks?
I keep going to Bag Back.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
It made me immediately, I was like,
is this
what an arpeggiator can do? Okay, all right, that's cool.
Right, right, right.
But also, like, Love Can Be, because it's almost like a dance.
It's a dance track. This boy is rapping over dance tracks.
Yeah, and it's cool. Like, when that song came out, I was like, oh, Vince is doing, he wants to make something different. He doesn't want to just make like an 808 or a sample, whatever. He wants to make like a different thing. He wants to make his thing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you know, with comfort food and everything, like, I'm always looking for music, and as a director, you're always looking for music. So when someone starts like etching out of what we kind of have as a bank of,
yeah,
I need a song that feels like this.
Yes.
I need a song that feels like this.
Yeah.
We have a new feeling. It's like you're painting with a new color.
Yeah. It is nice to have like when you're like, oh, I want something that's a little dancey, but I don't want like your typical dance tracks.
Yeah.
You know, you want something unexpected.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say that it's a little, it's like Gold Link with another, like,
yeah,
it's another player.
Yeah.
For Gold Link to like hang out with in a way.
Yeah.
Like it's new wave. It's the new wave.
Yeah.
I think Vince was born in like 92.
Yeah. He's super young.
Super young.
I did not like some of Vince's mixtapes like a couple of several years ago.
Same.
And
it's okay to know. You don't have to love everything.
I don't, you know.
Yeah. I was just making sure that you don't have to come clean.
No.
come dirty.
Vince is, he's super funny. I don't know if you've ever seen his interviews or something, anything.
So
he's done a few interviews with Bill Simmons.
Yeah.
And he's done a couple things on The Ringer. Mm-hmm. And he is fucking hilarious. And like as a person, I want to be friends with him.
Yeah.
And then that made me go, oh, I enjoy his music more because I understand the human being behind the music a lot more.
Yeah.
So like his last two records, I mean, I still think about like what's the song? War Ready all the time. Like I think about that track all the time and I appreciate him more. And he opened for James Blake. Did he open for James Blake for you when you saw him?
Oh, did Vince? Oh, Vince?
Yeah. Cause no. they produced, cause James Blake produced a lot of, the last record.
Right. Right. And so no.
Okay.
But we had this DJ person and you're talking about the show. Basically he played in LA and then he played in Santa Barbara.
Reversed. Yeah.
No, we had this DJ who was really a
DJ
good.
And then Vince came out, opened for James Blake, at least in LA.
No, that didn't happen.
Okay. So it was it was really cool. And it was fun watching him live.
Did you recognize any of the songs?
Yeah. Cause it was the record. He basically did the War Ready record.
Oh,
it's like
North
and War Ready.
It was
really fun live.
So, you mentioned that he's super, like, once you get to know the artist, you can like them a lot more.
Uh-huh.
With Simmons? Who Simmons? What's his
first name? Bill Simmons.
With Bill Simmons? Listen, man, like, I got into a interview that he did on Ebro in the Morning.
Oh, Ebro. On 97.
Yeah. Oh, there's such a history with all this. Like, when an artist, like, breaks and they do something, like, off-kilter.
Mm-hmm.
You're backed up by thinking it's off kilter because everyone's like, yo, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And everyone wants to talk to him about it.
Yeah.
And I felt the exact same way from this hour long interview. We'll link it, where he goes into the depths of everyone's calling him a troll.
Mm.
And what I mean by everyone is a lot of people are saying like, yo, Vince, you're stepping on everyone's toes and shit.
Right.
And he's like, nah, it's not even about that. And in this interview, not only does the realness come out, but the humor comes out as well.
He's so funny.
He immediately comes out and just says, yo, man, you've been texting me on the side about Tyga and shit. And like, just want to say that's like not cool or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, dude, you're not supposed to do that during an interview.
Yeah.
He's like, he brings out text messages of a private conversation in a public interview and reads what other people are saying to him. It's like, dude.
Yeah.
And I think some of it comes from him being so young.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I mean, I think what did it, you know, you probably gain tact. And I'm not saying that he's not a classy person.
I think it's also, he's just like, why are we playing games? I think he's a guy we would get along with in that we don't want to play games. He's just like, yo, like, I just don't feel like playing these like hip hop games.
These hip hop games about the, like, I don't have a nice car.
Yeah.
Dude, I just don't.
Yeah. It's just like, I just want to be a human.
Right. And meanwhile, like, Jaden has like four Teslas.
Jaden doesn't have four Teslas. Dad bought Jaden. We forget. Sometimes I think we forget that his dad's Will Smith.
I do, because that doesn't even seem kind of possible for him.
Except for when, like, you look at him, you go, oh, that's Will Smith.
Definitely Will Smith's kid. yeah, man. Vince Staples is, to me, it's definitely a front to back record, but there's definitely just like the tracks that truly stand out.
Yeah.
We had some more though. We had some more come out.
We got two more. I think we're building the two records that we could talk a lot about.
Yeah. And which one do you want to start with?
Let's
I'm going to Calvin.
Oh, you're doing Calvin.
Wait, whoa. Oh, okay, wait. Which, okay. What are you? Okay,
here. I think we can combine Calvin and another one.
Jay-Z?
No.
Jeez.
Khaled.
Because I think, you know what? Fuck this. Let's start up the hot take zone. And start on this motherfucker.
I think Khaled and Calvin are
I think they're
contemporaries.
Yep.
And they're kind of doing the same thing.
They are.
But also one of them's doing it right and the other one sucks.
And well, also Calvin is on the Khaled record.
They are not competing.
No.
They are not competitors.
They're definitely in the space though.
They are definitely hanging out and doing their thing together.
So they're both just straight up.
I fucking hate this guy.
let's start with your disdain for Khaled.
He is a pretty talented producer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And
ain't gonna take that.
Oh, God. Why does he have his kid in this video?
Oh, man. The kid. Because he loves his kid.
Sure. He's a pretty talented producer.
Yeah.
As a personality, I find him insufferable. I cannot fucking stand this man.
Yeah.
His voice makes me just go away.
Is it kind of like the kid that you think, how can I relate it? It's like when you viscerally think that someone does not deserve something and you don't know why, but
it's like when I walk around my neighborhood and I see really unattractive guys with beautiful women. I'm like, come on guys.
Right. Exactly. Or like when you see like a poisonous frog, there's something in your body that says, stay away from this.
Yeah.
That's what Khaled's voice
is. Oh my God.
Cause he comes in on, hey, I counted or not counted, but I paid attention.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's the only song on the album.
Yep.
That he does not interrupt.
Yeah.
Every other song has him.
And every single song starts off with him saying, and another one, we the best music, DJ Khaled. And he says that as the feature starts to sing or rap or perform or whatever. Yeah,
right, exactly.
And it's so annoying.
It's kind of like the DJ Clue thing.
it's very old school.
Yeah, exactly.
It just feels weird.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I actually truly believe that it detracts from the music. But also, like you said, this is an intentional beating over the head of, like, he truly believes in this. Like, he truly, truly, like, I think that they finish the song and then, like, the producers are like, please, God, please just leave. And he's like, oh, no, guys. We didn't do the intro. And they're like, no.
And it's.
And then they're like, DJ. And all the producers are like, damn it.
Here's the thing. I'm pretty sure he has his own soundboard for himself. Like, because every another one sounds identical.
Yeah, that's true.
And every DJ Khaled shout out to himself sounds identical.
Yeah.
Like, he's just dropping in one recording he did. Yeah. And he's like, all right, this is the part where DJ Khaled comes in.
Yeah, I hope it's like a randomized, it's one button, but it has like a random, like, you know, between six phrases, six of his favorite phrases.
It's just like,
what really grinds you here?
Well,
like,
okay.
Is it the self-celebration?
It's the sonic sound of his voice.
Just kills you.
It's awful. It's annoying.
Yeah.
And it's just this.
It's like a shittier Rick Ross.
Yeah. And it's do you have to do the thing every single song?
Yeah.
I was texting you when I was listening to it live for the first time.
Yeah. You were having a bad time.
I was not enjoying it.
You were in a bad place.
And like, so you mentioned Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Which is the only song he doesn't come in on.
It's the only song he doesn't come in on.
And the next song is Alicia Keys and Nicki Minaj.
Oh, Nobody. My God.
And the song starts to kick in. It's like a sampled choir. And it's super soulful. And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to love this.
And then
he screams out in another one, DJ Khaled. And then Nicki Minaj comes in, screams out Young Money.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, fuck, guys. Yeah,
right. Like, just sing. Yeah.
You don't hear Alicia Keys coming in.
I'm about to hot take zone, right? Real quick, right in the middle of this, and say more like Nicki Minaj.
Do you hate it?
I don't even know what that means.
No,
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, like nah. more like Nicki Minaj. Okay. Yeah, exactly. You see me.
Yeah, because to quickly pivot, we can kind of talk about these at the same time.
Let's get into
it. The worst song in Calvin Harris's album is the Nicki Minaj song.
Wow, I can't believe that we agreed on that.
Yeah.
That's where I came up with that.
It is an immediate skip.
Well, no, I listened to the whole thing. I didn't skip.
I listened to it once.
Yeah, exactly.
I listened to that album on my way up here, and I immediately skipped it.
It was, I don't know what it was, but like, I don't think that she's phoning it in. I just don't think that her voice was for that song.
She is not good.
Uh-oh.
She's not good.
What? No.
She had one verse on one song.
Seven years ago.
That was like, she had one verse on one song that made her a star. And ever since then, mm-hmm. it's been garbage.
No bullshit, dude. Like Super Bass is great. Anaconda, is that her song?
Yeah.
That song's great. She has great songs.
No.
She does. Nope. I think she has Britney Spears toxic level songs of re-listenability. And we're gonna have to disagree on this one.
She had one verse.
She also does like really awesome things with her money.
She's a great person, which we can, you know, like we're going to talk about Jay-Z's record, and I have a lot to say about him as a person.
Hey.
Oh,
not bad.
That's beautiful.
We'd like to thank Modelo for sponsoring this Tag H moment.
This Tag H moment.
This is what we call a Tag H
moment. As we're watching Justin Bieber dance.
I don't know. I'm kind of into like having just like a video playing a little bit while we talk. We've got the Bieber Chance Quavo. Basically, DJ Khaled said, who are the last four people that I sent text messages to?
Yeah.
Will you guys all come over for a video?
So.
Okay. Anyway. So you were about to get into, you said Nicki Minaj is a great person.
Yeah. Which I'll come back to when we talk about Jay-Z's record.
Let's table it.
But she's a great person, but she's not talented. She's way overrated. Hot take.
That could be a show title. She's a great person, but she's not talented.
Yeah. I just don't get it. I don't get the appeal of Nicki Minaj. She had one verse on one record. Great. That was good.
Okay, gotcha.
That was good.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. It wasn't this like life-changing thing that people talk about.
Are you talking about the Ludacris song?
No, I'm talking about the Monster verse.
Yeah. Never mind. Yeah.
On Twisted Dark Fantasy.
Right.
Which is like one of the worst songs on that record.
Agreed.
And she had one great verse that made her a star. It was that verse that made her.
Right. I don't know. What song did she do with Luda, though?
That may have been after that.
But that was when I got introduced to her.
Yeah, but like Nicki Minaj immediately went from someone who is okay.
My chick bad.
Yeah. No.
I'm pretty sure that was like a star breaking. Wow. Well,
this
promo photo was terrible.
Yeah.
I think we might have to screenshot that. Anyway.
But like, all right. So like, let's look at this Khaled album. First of all.
I have so much to say.
Why is it an hour and a half long?
Oh my God. Hot take zone. How Khaled going to release an hour and a half of content? Like what the fuck?
It's so long. I joke.
It's a feature film long.
I joked to you that was like, I'm pretty sure Vince Staples, Jay-Z, and Calvin Harris released three separate records that are shorter than
in combination.
Khaled. And I was wrong. It was those three albums are only 10 minutes longer. Those are three completely different combined albums. And it's those three things are only 10 minutes longer than Khaled's album.
I think that was
why
that was part of the pain when you were text messaging me live. Part of the pain was how long you were messaging me.
It was so long.
After an hour, you were like, this fucking record. I'm like, Josh, like I've lived an entire life while you've been torturing yourself.
Yeah. So, okay. So, why?
Yeah.
So the Beyonce and Jay-Z track is legitimately a good record.
Yeah.
It's really good.
I'm not faulting you on that.
The Drake song is garbage. But why does DJ... So Drake in the last album did the head, whatever the British phrase he stole.
Grime.
The grime thing. But he has that thing he says, like,
OVO Ting. OVO Ting.
No, what's the like, I don't know, Drake.
Yeah, what are you thinking about?
The like head shop thing, whatever that phrase is. He's like,
watch the Khaled, way you speak on my name.
No, Khaled says it at the end of the song. I don't know. It's Drake. I hate him.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Most of the record is like musically is pretty good.
Mm-hmm. More life.
No, it's I don't remember.
Okay, let's skip it.
But so the second half of the record comes in, which is way too long, mm-hmm. and it's just like there's like the Migos song that's awful,
yeah,
about like a major bag,
yeah,
which is terrible. But then it's like Pusha T, Jadakiss, Fat Joe, Raekwon. Why are those four people on records in 2017? Fat Joe should not be on a record in 2017. He peaked in 2004, and he should have just stayed in 2004.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was a good year for him.
It was probably a great year for
whenever
him.
Big Pun. What was that? What was that song? I don't play. I just crush a lot.
Yeah, but it's like when I saw that, like, why is Fat Joe and Raekwon on a record?
That's a good
in
question.
2017.
Because this is because we are throwback culture. That's mm-hmm. who we are.
Yeah, but they're not good anymore.
Oh, I don't. I mean, like they have to there's find out if they're good. Look, still,
I'm gonna say something that's wrong. God.
Yo, hot take zone is it?
Stevie Wonder was incredible in the 70s, 80s, and early 90s.
Yes,
he cannot sing that well anymore.
No,
there's a reason why everyone samples Stevie Wonder and doesn't bring Stevie into the studio.
I am sweating because I want to talk so much about 444 right now.
Well, we'll get to that.
Well, okay, yeah, we will.
Because we do need to talk about the this is something else I'm going to say. I don't want this to be true.
Oh my God.
I don't want this to be true. I do not want this to be true.
Episode 30 might have been where we peaked, and 31 is where
Well, you know, somebody else peaked, maybe, if we're going to segue.
Let's talk about it.
I'm afraid of something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid in 5 years – maybe 6 years when we're like, what happened to Chance the Rapper?
Oh,
we can pinpoint the exact moment he started to fall. And it's the god awful garbage song that he produced. And he Instagram posted about it. And he's so proud of this god awful song that he produced on Khaled's record called I Love You So Much. And I think in 6 years when that Medium post that like,
yeah,
what happened to Chance? In 2000,
this is what happened.
In 2006, he won an Emmy, or not Emmy, a Grammy.
Yep.
And he was like BET Humanitarian of the Year. And he was this guy who was like this role model for people. And then he released a song on DJ Khaled's record called I Love You So Much. And I think when we look back at Chance's career and we go, he was on top of the world. He could have been the biggest musician in the world. He could have been the most beloved musician
Jay,
in the world.
I mean, like, he still might. Like,
he still might. But if we, in 6 years, we go, what happened to Chance?
Mm-hmm.
It will be this song that was the beginning of the end. Is what I'm getting at. It's the beginning of the end. Is this fucking terrible.
So
garbage song called I Love You So Much.
So, okay. I have this running theme with this album, which basically, like, everyone that contributed to Khaled's album brought 1/4 of their magic to it.
Yeah, no one, even Jay-Z and Beyonce phoned it in.
Yeah.
It's a great song, but even the two of them were like, yeah, we'll do it.
Literally recorded this song through a phone. Like, actually, but yeah, that alphabet thing. See, here's what happens, Josh. Like, and we need to actually, as two single men at uh-huh. this time and moment without families, something happens to you when you start raising a child and starting a family. Like, truly,
you lose your sense of what's good and bad.
Your chemical makeup, like what your brain does, is different.
Uh-huh.
And right now, like, Chance just isn't. We were in a similar like place metaphysically,
yeah.
Like our concerns, like, hey, is is Donald Glover going to hit me back? Are we going to like smoke and go to the beach or what?
Yeah.
And like, he's just not doing that anymore mm-hmm. now. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not hitting up Donald anymore. Like, you know, like he said, like, cool it down. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, we're actually not friends, Brandon.
How did you get my number?
How did you get this number? but for real, like, that was some of the weakest stuff I've heard from Chance. But at the same time, like, he's the strongest artist that he's ever been. So there's a there's a dissonance that we have to truly, like,
yeah.
Like, he's a family man now.
Yeah,
and but so like, are a lot of the people that have been listening to him.
Sure.
And so like
it's a
lullaby. Chance, it's seriously a lullaby.
Chance did a cover of the Arthur theme song, and it was dope.
That's true.
He did the alphabet in this song. And it's fucking garbage.
And it's really great for him to have done. I'm glad you brought up that Arthur thing, because that actually hits close to home. Because kids used to call me Arthur in school. Mm-hmm. Like, basically, the cool kid decided that I looked like Arthur.
You do.
Do I still look like Arthur?
No, but okay, you did.
Thank you. Yeah. That hurts so bad.
Hey, look, I was called Bobby's World because I had a big head.
Okay, good. I'm glad. I'm glad we can see this. On things are going to happen. We really just break it down and, you know, like we take stabs, we take jabs, but yeah, hey,
I'll join you in the pain of being of elementary.
But when
school.
Someone makes something cool,
yeah.
No, it was like a super, to me, like, wow. I get why this song is so important. Actually, this kind of brings me back to DJ Khaled's last track on the album.
Ugh.
Where he's like legitimately just rhythmically it's kind of a Kanye thing a little bit. He's talk rapping singing about his kid.
Right.
And this whole album kind of rings with his kid.
Like, it's all about his kid.
It's all about his kid.
Well, in as much as he led the lyric theme, like that song, that one song is about this kid.
Right.
Specifically.
And the thing is like, I wrote this note that was like, last track, it's so genuine, but it's so produced that I like hate it. Like, it's just so like, it's just so in the box.
There's such a,
it's gross. It's gross.
There's so much about DJ Khaled that is not genuine and phony that it makes it impossible to like him. I mean, his voice.
Look at this pink fucking suit.
I mean, I kind of like the pink suit, but like, I
like that you have a caveat there.
But like, everything about his presentation is so fake and phony that it turns me off. Like, his voice and the things he says in his songs, that he's not a performer. In that way,
yeah.
He's not singing or rapping or anything,
no.
But he interjects himself into the music.
That's what you hate.
That's what I hate. But all of it is so phony. Mm-hmm. There's nothing genuine about DJ Khaled.
There's not like a substance that you can like
feel that he's pushing a brand.
Yeah, true.
And the Khaled brand is Ciroc. Not Ciroc, but whatever his vodka brand is that is in every music video of his.
Dude, I did not know that he had a vodka brand. What are you about to do to my world right now?
He's sponsored by a...
Just like us with Modelo, right?
Yeah, Ciroc. It is Ciroc. It's
new mango-flavored vodka. Like, that's such a bullshit, like...
There's a bottle of Ciroc in every one of his music videos.
God damn it, Josh. I'm like, right? I'm on GQ.com with the headline, DJ Khaled says you're going to love Ciroc's new mango-flavored vodka.
And there's a picture of him in the studio in a velour jumpsuit.
Like, looking at the makeup of this photo with a gold record in the back.
Yeah.
Headphones that aren't on.
Yeah.
This console isn't on.
The sliders and pods are at default position. And he's got a bottle of Ciroc that's turned towards camera, cheated towards camera. He's got a perfectly bartended glass of Ciroc.
Holy shit.
And he's wearing a velour jumpsuit and he's staring intently at the pods and he's not doing anything.
You wouldn't. like you wouldn't even mix like this. Like you wouldn't even like look at the you like there's no reason to do what's in this photo.
No, no. And he's got his like his watch is perfectly like slightly out of slightly, his blur jumpsuit. Yeah, exactly. He's got his pinky ring.
Oh my God.
And it's just it's everything all, about him is, yeah,
there's no real life about it.
Yeah, it's not interesting and we can talk about Jay-Z's album here in a few minutes, but like there's something genuine about Jay-Z and his record and there's something record. There's something very genuine about Beyonce that like I liken Beyonce and Rihanna as contemporaries, but I'm attracted to what Beyonce does more than Rihanna because Rihanna feels manufactured and forced and Beyonce feels real. Yeah. And the reality is Beyonce is just as manufactured and forced as Rihanna.
I was going to say, like, I don't know if that's fair.
Yeah. The presentation of it is real and genuine.
Right.
And the Rihanna presentation is fake and manufactured.
Because you can see the seams.
But, like, Calvin Harris and DJ Khaled,
yes,
who are contemporaries, who are just producers, yes, right? They are
just producers.
They're records that
he
used to sing. His first record, he sang. And there's a couple, you hear his voice in this record.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, but it is like, it's like a chorus, right? It's in the chorus. It's part of the, no, I'm just saying like Khaled and
I see what you're Harris, saying. I see the connection that you're drawing here.
Yeah. They both released records that are in the world of like, we're DJs and we're producers and we have famous friends.
Yep.
And we're releasing a record that has all of our famous friends and our voice is in it, but like in Khaled's case, in it too much. And maybe Calvin Harris is not enough.
They should reverse it.
Yeah.
Where Calvin Harris says DJ Khaled and then he goes into a funky bass line.
Yeah. But like, there's something genuine about what you hear in Calvin Harris's record. Yeah,
right.
That it doesn't feel like a brand.
I don't know. They're called lyrics.
Yeah. But like, a lot of the same people are in both records. Future's in both records. Right.
Migos
are in both records. I'm looking. There's no Migos in Calvin Harris's record.
Really?
Not even Quavo? No, I'm sorry. No, they are.
Yeah,
they are.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, no, in that first song. I'm looking through the rest of it, and I'm like, oh, I don't see that.
Yeah.
But like Calvin Harris's record feels genuine, even though he is a white dude from Britain who's doing a funk record from 1978. And
I'm so glad that you picked that up.
And it's, but it doesn't feel like a brand, whereas Khaled feels
it's all brand.
It's all about pushing.
It's all fluff.
And it feels like 2004.
It does.
Feels like P. Diddy, who obviously I think he owns Ciroc, or he's like a major stakeholder in Ciroc. Like P. Diddy out there, like putting out his thing, and it just feels,
P. Diddy is Ciroc.
Yeah, and it's just like it feels like a marketing team put together DJ Khaled.
I feel like DJ Khaled was who he was before the marketing team, and then they said, "Let's amplify this hashtagable part of you," and then put and see how far it goes.
Yeah.
And then it went further than any of them could ever imagine. And so then the cycle repeated itself until now, when you have the mainstream that gets into it, it's like, oh, this is unbearable to some people because all they can see is the Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
They can't actually see like the actual science and genius behind like a good recipe.
Right.
All they can see is the marketing effort behind it.
And I work in advertising, so it's
exactly,
it's weird, but like I hear, I don't know, just, the music is good in some cases, in a lot of cases
it's so good. The music itself is like it's some of the best.
Yeah, he's a very good producer if he just got out of the way.
I wonder what that would sound like. I wonder if it would sell as hard. Actually, no, this is really satisfying. I mean, hey, you know what? We're all human. We do like to see some people fail sometimes. And so there's
Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude. Schadenfreude.
That's German for enjoying asshole. Somebody else's pain.
So DJ Khaled got booed off a stage, and it's like really, it's really sad at Electric Daisy Carnival Festival. It's one of those things where not every show is going to be awesome.
But why would you go to a DJ Khaled show?
Exactly.
Like, unless also, he's just DJing.
But I can ask you, I don't think he can DJ.
Okay.
I don't think he can do, like, I don't think he can do
what Calvin Harris does for a lot of money.
What's interesting is, like, does he do much?
Calvin Harris?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a real DJ.
So
he's a DJ in the way, like, we would go, you know, K Tronada.
Yeah.
He's a DJ, but he's also a producer, but he DJs.
Katra just broke my heart, man. Did you see that tweet?
No.
Oh, dude, this dude, I'm mad at him.
Why?
He mentioned that he was going to drop a beat tape.
Okay.
And I got all caps excited.
Uh-huh.
And then today he's like, yo, guys, I'm not going to drop that tape. and his mentions were all like, no one's like upset.
Yeah.
But we're like sad.
We're disappointed.
Like, dude, you were like, you're like the coolest. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. But like, Calvin Harris can DJ a show.
Yeah.
And it's arena DJ, right? It's DJing in the way Skrillex or David Guetta or Tiesto DJs.
Like, oh man. Yeah.
It's not like a selection show.
It's not as,
it's a little more planned. It's not as performance based, but Calvin Harris legit is a good DJ, and he actually does it. And that's how he tours.
Right.
Right. He tours as a DJ, but produces.
Can we get into funk wave bounces?
Yeah.
You cool with that?
Yeah, I was just to end on the Khaled thing along with the DJ thing. I think you're right. I don't think he DJs, and I don't know why.
No, look at him. He's in front of the DJ booth.
He did the NBA All-Star game. He was the music performer, and he was just on mic.
Yeah,
away, and there was a DJ on stage.
Yeah,
and it's not.
It's kind of like the separation of powers. Like it's almost like the music entertainment has. Fragmented the jobs.
Yeah.
Again, where you have an MC and the MC's job was to pump the DJ.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like Khaled is his own MC, but he's the MC for someone else that's playing what he made. It's like,
yeah,
you should get someone else, Khaled, to do what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Because we're all confused.
Yeah. And he's a guy who puts out records with a bunch of features and, performing that would be difficult.
Oh, yeah. But is not a performance.
It's not a performance. It's weird. And I don't know. I mean, like I was thinking about Disclosure is another band.
Yeah.
A DJ or producing duo.
Love Disclosure.
Yeah. That every song has a different feature.
Yeah. Disclosure over Brass Tracks. Sorry.
Yeah, it's, well, there's a
ever since they started releasing videos, I'm like, you guys are dweebs.
Yeah, they're dweeby, but they're really great live.
Super fucking good.
Both of them are great live. Actually,
you saw them live, didn't you?
I've seen Brass Tracks live.
Damn, was that really good?
It was really fun, yeah, and they're really, really, jealous. really fun. And they
performance. Like, I just wanted to say that just to be a dick.
But like Disclosure, they are performing all their songs, and then sometimes like some of the famous people come out.
Yeah,
that are on their songs, and that's cool.
Yeah.
But like DJ Khaled isn't performing and Future's not going to come on stage and like rap over himself because there's no instrumentation. I don't know. It's weird. And like even Calvin Harris, I assume Rihanna's not coming out to do a Calvin Harris thing while he's just on the pods.
Right.
While he's just sliding the crossfader.
I mean, it would be cool, but you just know that it's not going
to
happen.
Yeah. It's not going to happen. And you don't expect it to happen.
Right.
Because Calvin Harris is going to put on a dance show. You're going to dance. You're going to drop your molly and dance.
Yeah, exactly.
And he is behind the booth.
Yes.
Right? He's doing his thing. It's like Deadmau5. Like
Deadmau5,
Daft Punk.
Yeah, right.
Any one of those guys.
Speaking of, I want a funk wave bounce and you can't stop me.
No. Go into it. It's very good.
I want to say that remember when? Jeez. Okay. So Daft Punk released Random Access Memories.
Yeah.
And it was
a disco record.
It's a disco cool record.
Yeah. It's literally got Paul Williams, who's the king of disco.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I feel like Funk Wave Bounces is naming it Funk Wave spelled.
Yeah.
In the format of WAV.
Yeah.
And then Bounces, which is a term used for transferring the song from its editable state into a mixed and compressed state.
Yeah.
And then volume one, all of it just reeks of like the process of, yeah. of what he's doing.
Yeah.
And then, similar, I just got Random Access Memories vibes from it, where it's like, these people are such at the height of their craft that you have to almost like, what else is interesting about what I'm doing?
Well, I was thinking, like, I think Calvin Harris is a guy who, when his first record came out, Ready for the Weekend, which so, is one of our oldest things.
That's our oldest. It's one of our oldest connections.
Yeah.
It's when we knew that we were going to have to talk about music.
Yeah. Eventually.
Like on a podcast or on a, through microphones.
That was my first revelation in the modern streaming music thing. We were texting one day. You're like, you should check out this record. Mm-hmm. And like an hour later, I was in my car and I was listening to it streaming through audio.
Right. Yeah. This record just doesn't quit.
It's really fun, and it's like his first record, he produced his own thing, and he sung a bunch on it, and he was like, yeah, I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And
yeah,
then he did, like, three records that were, like...
I Love Disco or something like that. I forget what his record was called.
Oh, right, yeah, Disco something.
But anyway, please keep going.
But, like, then he did a couple of records where he recognized, like, oh, if I have Rihanna sing... I can make $100 million. Like, it's just like that. I can produce records for Rihanna in the way, in the style David Guetta did.
Yeah.
And I could be the biggest musician in the world. And then I can just hang out and make a funk record.
Yeah.
I could just sit and play bass in my place and then invite, you know, Future and Frank Ocean and Snoop Dogg and John Legend and Nicki Minaj and Pharrell and Katy Perry.
Right.
And invite those people over to hang out with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to make I'm one of the richest and most well-known musicians in the world.
Yep.
Who, like, not only is well-known musically, but, like, dated Taylor Swift. Like, he's a real A-list musician now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, now I can just hang out and actually show how talented I am.
Yeah. I don't think there was ever...
And I can make the record I want.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. So I agree with every point that you've just made of legitimate talent, mm-hmm. Showcasing that talent appropriately, mm-hmm. and or like the right time to do the right thing, mm-hmm. which was, I think there's a lot of happy accidents in Calvin Harris's career,
mm-hmm.
that in 2000... between the years of 2006 and 2010, that a certain type of music was getting a spotlight, mm-hmm. and that he was right there making that kind of, like, learning how to make that kind of music.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'd have to say that this record is a recognition of doing what he wants to do rather than following a wave of music.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is exactly what you were absolutely right about, like Daft Punk and Random Access Memories. Like,
this is what I'm good at. I know what's popular right now, and I know that I was super good at what was popular at the time.
Yeah.
But that was happening. It was a coincidence that happened.
Yeah. And that enabled me to, like, you know, I'm sure his interviews are like, you know, I grew up listening to funk records. I grew up listening to James Brown and Sly.
I've never seen a Calvin Harris interview.
Neither, but no,
we should look one up.
But like, I'm sure if he's talking about this record, he's like, you know, I grew up listening to funk records.
Right.
And like, that's what my dad listened to, or that's what my mom listened to, or that's what my older brother listened to.
Exactly.
And, you know, Sly and the Family Stone and all these records and James Brown records. And he's like, you know, I've always wanted to make a funk record.
That's what this record is.
Yeah,
it's like, I've always wanted to make a. Damn, that is rude. But hey, what did I tell you?
Yeah,
about when my phone rings.
Yeah,
everything goes off. I wonder if the camera's okay.
Yeah,
but basically, I've always wanted to make a funk record. Mm-hmm. I haven't made a funk record.
Yeah,
everyone wants a dance summer anthem.
Yeah,
and well. You can put this on during the summer, and it would not be the wrong decision.
Yeah.
But this is not ready for the weekend, too.
No.
And a lot of you probably wanted that.
Yeah.
Correction. I wanted
that. I wanted that, too.
Brandon Scott wanted that.
Yeah. I mean, I always want that.
Exactly. So, but I don't think we're going to get it, at least for a while to come. Maybe
he'll fine. And maybe that's, maybe he doesn't want to make that anymore.
Exactly.
And that's okay.
Exactly. He really slowed his BPM. Like, this record is a slow record.
This record doesn't have like a drop.
There's no, no Calvin drop.
It's,
well, Calvin didn't really do.
Yeah. He did drops.
Did he do drops?
Yeah.
I don't feel like
Rihanna records.
You're right. You're right. You're totally right. You're totally right.
If we,
I guess
if,
I just didn't recognize it as like a Skrillex drop, though. I feel like they're not, I feel like Calvin drops different in a way.
Yeah, yeah. But like, if we Ready for the Weekend and Funk Wave Bounces are two different records from the rest of his like career.
Yeah,
career of like Rihanna sings because he got famous off Rihanna.
Yep,
Rihanna sings. And he has like a dance EDM track in the background.
Yeah.
That he made $100 million a year.
You keep bringing that up. Is that from that Forbes thing?
Yeah. He's a very, he's the richest DJ in the world.
He's the highest paid DJ in the world. I don't know if he's the richest DJ in the world. Like,
I assume that's,
I assume that's Jaden Smith.
Yeah, his, it's probably Shaq.
For his spot. Was it you that sent me the Shaq?
I every time Shaq DJs, I send you the Instagram post.
Can that be a Instagram of the week?
Yeah, dude, okay. Follow Shaq on Instagram.
We are going to take a break from all this music conversation to talk about the Instagram of the week, and that's definitely Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal will not. He won't leave us.
Yeah,
the man was in a movie in the 90s, and that showed us that he was better than. He was more than the court.
Oh, yes.
He was more than what he had on the court.
Like the first thing you said about Shaq was him being in a terrible movie in the 90s.
Excuse me. I did not say that a terrible movie.
I did.
You added the terrible. That movie was incredible.
Okay.
But what's more incredible is Shaquille O'Neal's Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Which his name is Dr. Shaquille O'Neal. Did you know he had a doctorate?
I think it's a fake doctorate.
Ooh, like it's honorary?
It's an honorary doctorate.
Boo, no, get a real one, dog. Come on.
No. It's actually funnier this way. It's Shaq. It's fun. Yeah, I love Shaquille O'Neal, man. He is the happiest dude.
Well, yeah. No, and what's great is like he's just like posting like album covers. Oh, this is the one, right? Is this the one?
I think that's the one, yeah, where he DJed. He DJ'd the NBA awards show.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a video on Instagram of him.
Oh, we'll link it. You'll get that link. Bless you.
Thank you. There's a video of him like, you know, getting ready to do it, and he goes hard.
Yeah.
And he's good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I think he's been DJing since the 90s.
Yeah.
Like when he was the most famous athlete in the world.
Exactly.
When he was drafted to the Magic. I think he was, I don't know. I think he's just happy.
Yeah, no, well, he should be like happy, and he's happy in the way that DJ Khaled just can't seem to like, not like he's not annoying with his happiness.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we took that detour, into Instagram of the week with Shaq there.
Yeah.
Give him a follow. I mean,
yeah, he needs it.
You'll just be added to the 5.6 million that he has already.
No, I think Shaq really needs the fans. He's really falling on hard times. He needs your support. He needs us.
He needs the things that are going to happen. Bump. You know, whenever we mention something on the show,
yeah,
how it gets really, really popular.
Yeah. He needs us. You want to talk about Jay-Z?
Yeah.
All right. You were not a fan, but you were not a,
I'm not a DJ
academic.
I'm not exactly. I'm not a Jay-Z, archaeologist.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, if he referenced something that he talked about in 1998, I probably wouldn't know unless it was about switching four lanes. Or, yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. But, like, if he starts talking about Reasonable Doubt, you don't necessarily know.
Right. I don't know what he's doubting, but I do understand that you are one of the most successful businessmen ever. Or maybe not ever. Yeah, probably ever.
I mean, in music.
Well, in coming out of music. Yeah, coming out of music. But I mean, what else? He owns a basketball team, right?
He owns 1% of 1% of the Brooklyn Nets at one point.
At one point, no.
He sold his share.
Oh, to who?
I don't know.
Did you buy it?
Yeah, I bought it.
Like, I own Jay-Z. Is that deal going through?
Yeah, I own 1% of 1% of the Brooklyn Nets. I think he does own a share in the Brooklyn Nets Stadium.
Oh, okay.
The Barclays Stadium.
Right. Yeah, does Jay-Z have a vodka?
No.
He's got a liquor though, right?
I think he does have a liquor.
What's his liquor?
I don't know.
I just feel like if you're in the rap game, you have to have a liquor.
Cognac. Yeah, makes sense.
How did we forget that?
Yeah.
Listen, 444 has, and you brought it up earlier with Stevie Wonder, and that's like, I'm obsessed with the song Smile.
It's very good.
It feels so good, like from start to finish.
Yeah.
Especially the finish, actually, where featuring Gloria Carter, right?
Yeah.
That's Mama. I had to look it up. I mean, like, I assumed, but I didn't want to, like, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing with Jay-Z's record, my drive up here was very long. So I thought about it a lot.
Okay.
Is that Jay-Z's an adult.
Yeah, big man. Yeah.
And he's rapping about adult stuff, you know, and that's super interesting.
Yeah.
Cause no one else raps about adult stuff.
Right. Like taxes and shit.
A little bit about like, oh, I'm doing this thing so that my kids have money.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
That's super interesting. And he's like, you know, apologizing to his wife, who obviously is Beyonce, about like, hey, I wasn't around a lot. And that's why this happened. And like, you know, it's you probably need to mute that. It's interesting to listen to a grown ass man talk about.
Right.
About his experiences.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of role models in popular culture. Mm-hmm. And I kind of find a lot of that annoying when we say like, oh, this person's a role. Oh, Tom Brady's a role model. Or, Tiger Woods is a bad role model.
Right.
And a lot of people get it because they're famous or they are successful.
Right. And that doesn't make you a role model necessarily.
That doesn't make you somebody who should be in that conversation. I think with this record, Jay-Z solidified himself as a actual role model because dude talks about going to his therapist.
Right.
And dude talks about like, oh, my mom is a lesbian. And like, he talks about cheating on his wife and like how his kids are going to think about that when they find out about it.
Yeah.
And like how he is terrified, you know, Blue, I think is probably 4 or 5. Mm-hmm. And he's already nervous about what in 10 years when Blue's on the internet and Google's dad.
Right.
You know, it's grown ass man shit.
Yeah. I see what you mean.
You can look at his life and say, all right, that's a person. He used to sling dope on his corner and like built something of himself. And, you know, he's almost gone to jail, you know?
Right.
And it's like
ended up, you know, marrying the most, like, how do you get to a point where you can, how do you get to a point where you attain wealth from not wealth? Uh-huh. And then how do you go from fawning after a woman who is at the height of her career and only has higher to go,
right?
But actually get into a relationship with her, and then actually build like crazy amounts of trust.
Right.
And then how do you actually betray that trust, but still live with yourself?
Right.
You know, like how do you betray the most famous woman and then like try to like, what, like
the behind the scenes real life of that.
And she talks about you in her record and talks about you like, yo, like,
so famously, her sister beats you up in an elevator publicly. Exactly. Like, Yeah, there's.
I hadn't approached this record from that perspective, but I think that's a totally damn. Yeah, the subject matter of the record is totally different from, like, you know, flossing, getting head in a truck.
Yeah, well, like, think about Jay-Z in that, like, you know, one of his most famous records is Girls, 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 and it's right. All about, you know, women and boats and, like, that music video is he's on a yacht and now he's releasing tracks about, you know, being black and how, like, nothing really, like, nothing changes even when you're super rich, right. Or like going, like, I keep going back to the therapist thing. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you need to do if you actually want to be a role model.
Yep.
Like, to tell not just young black kids, you can get a therapist, but all young people and everyone, like, hey, I'm Jay-Z.
And I have,
like, you look at my life and you go, oh my God, you have the greatest life in the world. Yeah. You've got all the money in the world. You got the most beautiful woman in the world. Yeah. You've got everything, anything you want. You can have a text conversation with Obama during a football game. Like, you are a person we look at and go, your life is perfect. And he's like, but my therapist said, and you go, oh shit, Jay-Z is a therapist?
Right. It's like, how could
you? So I could get a therapist. That's okay.
Right. I see. Yeah, right. No, exactly. It makes it, definitely he made the male, the strong black male more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Which is not a negative, like, vulnerability so tied to a negative connotation.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, fuck that. Like, I got chains. I got friends, like, yeah, you like Kanye West, like, literally, like, I cannot be friends with him,
yeah,
like, straight, like, as a decision.
Yeah, like, this is a dude who I gave $20 million to so he can go on tour, and he gave me 20 minutes on stage, and I'm like, what the fuck is that dude doing?
Yeah,
and he can talk about that.
That line is fucking whack. I mean, not the line,
the story of it.
Yeah. Like, what, dude?
Yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, because, like, Kanye is nobody without Jay-Z.
Bingo. Yo, actually, you know, for a minute here, like, I, much like, what was it that you sent me that I sent? Much like Jaden, uh-huh, when 444 was around, I, like, sent it and, like, you know, started to, like, talk about it and, like, hip-hop heads, whatever, like, what's up? Let's get into it.
Yeah.
And a good friend of mine, like, wasn't like, he's like, yo, this album's not, like, pushing a boundary. Like, this, he's like, compare this to Staples' album. And I'm like, you know what? Like, Jay-Z doesn't have to play that. He doesn't have to, like,
look,
he's not new.
He's not new. And I've been thinking about this kind of thing a lot of some people are just better than everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, and not like they are better people, yeah, but, like, talent wise.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. is just funnier than most people.
I get, yeah.
Like, as a writer, as a performer, his talent level is just better than everybody else's. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's fine. Jay-Z, as a rapper and as a hip-hop guy, is just better than everybody.
Right.
He
starts at a different place. He starts ahead.
He starts ahead, but, like, whenever he wants to, he can just release a record that's better than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. Like, Vince Staples' record's really good, but, like, look, Jay-Z at any moment in time could just release a better record whenever he wants. I think Kendrick is on the path, and I think he might
trending.
Yeah, he's trending towards just, like, I'm just better than everybody.
Right, right.
And, like, look, it's just, it is what it is, you know? I'm good. And I don't need to transcend music and do something completely different, because, like, all I have to do is just what I do, and it's better than everybody else's.
Right. Yeah. Like, I think that my idea for this album, like, I couldn't pinpoint what I was trying to say to my friend. I feel like you, like, actually really got to it. Whereas, like, this album doesn't compete with the other albums from the other newcomers. Like I said, like, I mean, we said that Vince was born in 1991.
Yes.
When was Jay-Z's first record released?
96.
So, like, that dude was five.
Yeah.
So, like, the conversations, you can't hold them up to the same light. Like it doesn't, it's not an appropriate comparison.
But like, what do you want Jay-Z to do? Do you want Jay-Z to release a
trap album?
Yeah.
No.
Like, do you? Yeah.
I don't want Jay-Z to release
a trap album. I don't want Jay-Z ad-libbing
show title
after every
show title.
I don't want Jay-Z
to release a trap album. Could be.
Yeah. Like I don't want Jay-Z ad-libbing over every line of his song while hi-hat is at like, you know, yeah, note repeating.
Jay-Z mumble rap?
No, I don't want that. No. But like he doesn't have to do that because he's just like fucking better than everybody. Yeah, he can just show up in the studio and I'm sure it's really hard for him. Mm-hmm. He works really hard at it. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it doesn't come easy,
no,
but when he is doing it, he is just better than everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, like, did you ever see, you can like YouTube certain things and, he was over at Rick Rubin's and he's just like describing the process.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's good. Oh wait, actually, you know what? We talked about
this before. Talked about this. Yeah,
exactly. But, so, I mean, I don't know, like, I feel like this record is it instant classic?
Probably not.
Is it like,
okay, but I think we're having two different conversations. Like musically, if we take the record,
phenomenal.
Well, okay, no, I think if we take the album musically and say, is this the most musically interesting record of 2017?
Right,
you would go, no, like Damn is more interesting,
yeah,
musically.
Right,
and
message wise, music. Yeah, right.
If we just listen to it, passively listen to it, Jay-Z's record is not the most interesting or even the best hip hop record of 2017 musically.
Right.
Okay. Right? Like No ID is incredible. Mm-hmm. And I love the new trend of one producer, one album.
Oh yeah.
Cause it sounds like one thing.
Yeah. Right?
This record from beginning to end.
Right.
Sounds like one thing.
Captures the vibe, tells you what the vibe is, and then stays the vibe.
It doesn't change. Like even Damn. Like,
oh,
like,
dude, Damn is chaotic.
The Pimp a Butterfly sounds like one record, right?
Yes.
It's got a theme, it's got a tone. It's even the song, like Pharrell's song in the middle of it, like kind of fits, but
peaks and valleys, but all in the same.
Region. But like this record feels like
a city.
It feels like one dude, a couple guys sat in a room and put this together, and it all flows together, and it's really nice.
Right. I'm gonna listen to Vince Staples at certain times.
Yeah.
And I'm going to listen to 444 at certain times. And they might not be the same time.
Yeah, it won't be necessarily. Yeah.
Not necessarily. Unless it's like a comfort food show. And then like I'll mash them.
Yeah. But like musically, no, it's not super interesting. No, it's not as interesting as when Timbaland was producing Jay-Z tracks or when Kanye was producing Timbaland tracks.
He's not at that speed. None of those guys are at that speed anymore.
But he also wanted to make a record where it's personal.
Yep.
It's emotional.
Yep.
He is telling it. He is telling his grown man shit.
You know what? And because of his scenario, because of his public scenario and what an entertainer has to and needs to do, it would be inappropriate to release a Timbaland record now after all the shit that we just saw you do.
Yeah.
And you're going to pretend like nothing happened?
It would be in the way DJ Khaled has a brand and authenticity to his music.
Right.
Jay-Z's record comes out and it doesn't have a Justin Timberlake feature like Magna Carta. Right. It doesn't have a Rihanna feature.
This ain't your place.
Yeah.
No, this isn't any of y'all's story.
This is in the same way Beyonce's record has a James Blake feature and a Jack White feature.
Yeah.
And who is there anyone really on that? Oh, Kendrick.
Yeah.
And that's K-Dot's Freedom.
On. Yeah.
And that's Freedom. And that's a huge, just big epic track.
Right.
Where like Kendrick's voice fits.
Yeah.
But he's not doing in the way Damn has one song on there that's like, I've got Rihanna on here. I have the song. I've got one track that's going to be playing on the radio for the next year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Jay-Z was like, no, I'm telling you a story
about
my life as a 48-year-old man.
I literally don't have to release a record.
I don't have to release a record.
I don't have to.
And honestly, I don't care if I make money off this record.
Beautiful.
It is just like, I'm here to tell you a story about my life, my grown man shit. So, like, musically, sure, it might not be as forward-thinking as Vince Staples, right? There's not a Flume-produced track on here that we can go, oh, my God,
this isn't,
he changed everything.
Yeah, it's not a festival record.
Yeah, but the content of the record is incredible.
Damn, dude, I'm gonna have to like, listen to the record with, like, a whole new set of ears.
Just listen to it while reading Genius.
Oh, honestly. Because I guess I could do that. Yeah, of course, but, like, of course. Do you do that? Do you,
like, I did that on this record.
That makes sense. There are certain, I think there's records that you, like, just get up Genius and, like, just go through it that way. And there's others that you just kind of, like, how does this hit me or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, content-wise, this record is by far the best Jay-Z record.
Wow.
Because he's saying something.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
And hopefully people like you and I listen to it and go, oh, Jay-Z's got a therapist. You know, Jay-Z's mom's a lesbian and that's fine.
Yeah.
And he's fine with that. And he has been torn up about it internally for years. And it's like not, and he, I mean, how often have we talked about homosexuality in the rap community and how like, that's not okay. But here we have Jay-Z saying, my mom's a lesbian. And the thing that tore me up was not that she was a lesbian, is that I couldn't tell anybody.
Right.
And that's grown ass man.
Grown man shit.
And that's what hopefully. Look, you're not going to get Future releasing or the Migos releasing a record that's talking about their like
therapist.
Their therapist.
They don't have one.
No.
Most just, likely. That's very assumptuous.
But they're just out there spending money and doing their thing. They're living the life Jay-Z lived.
Right. When he was
12 records ago.
12. Think about that. 12 records ago.
Yeah. And now 20,
like a literal 20-year career.
Yeah.
And now some people are 20 years old.
Yeah. And we're watching what, I don't know what video. This I think is this, girls, this is Big Pimpin. But yeah. So we've got, like we've got a dude who like had Big Pimpin.
Yeah.
And now he's talking about, my wife. Let's separate who it is, right? Let's take out the fact that it's Beyonce. Like my wife, I'm sorry, I cheated on you a bunch of times, and I wasn't home, I wasn't there, and you had two miscarriages, and I wear that burden on my shoulder.
Yep.
And I cheated on you a bunch of times. Everyone knows.
Yep.
Everyone knows.
Yep.
You, my wife, talked about it publicly.
Yep.
And my children are going to grow up.
Understand that. Yeah.
And they're going to eventually find out who I am, and. Eventually they're going to come to me. They know me as this man who is here every day and loves them and is the greatest dad.
Yeah.
But eventually they're going to learn that I'm not the good person I've presented to them. And I have to deal with that with them. And like, I have to talk to them about like, yeah, I was a different person before you were born.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And that's the content of this album is what makes it interesting.
It's a mature album. It's an album that's not necessarily for the hype crowd.
Yeah.
It's not for the same people that are listening to these other albums by these other new people who are very, very excited. It's what happens when like life actually happens.
Yeah.
Like life has happened.
Yeah.
So what now?
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to watch these career people that we've all like Jay-Z is a staple. I remember being like 11 and 12 and my cousin like letting me listen to Jay-Z because he couldn't have a Jay-Z record at my fucking parents' house. Are you kidding me?
No.
So I would like listen to him and I would feel like, whoa, like this is what like this is like real music shit.
Yeah.
And like we talked about this a little bit earlier. It's like, all I know is Jay-Z's hits.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Sure.
And so you mentioned that you'll have a fun ride home back to LA going through the chronological order of this man's career. And I wonder what like perspective you're going to have, especially with 444 being the bookend to the story so far. Not that he's not going to release another record after, but
But like the story begins.
It's a full story.
Yeah. A lot of Reasonable Doubt is about him dealing drugs and being that guy, right? The guy who's from the streets who's living that life. And by the end of it, he's talking about like, look, I bought a Picasso painting for $1 million and it was worth $2 million and then it was worth $8 million and I'm going to give that to my kids. And he talks about like, you guys think that's bougie.
Yeah.
But like, look, when your favorite rapper is spending all of his money on chains and cars and houses.
Right.
And he's broke in 10 years.
Yeah.
And I have one painting that I could sell. yeah. give to my kids, and they have $8 million or $10 million or whatever. Like, you guys think that's bougie.
Right.
I'm thinking about, I'm actually smart. Yeah, I'm actually thinking about
now he's got
like the future.
He's got that line where he talks about that he could have bought a building for
In Dumbo.
I was trying to bring up that video and it just kept making noise. So my bad about that.
Yeah.
But like that video is so good. Have you seen it?
I haven't seen the video.
So I've only seen like a minute clip of it. Uh-huh. We might have to sign up for Tidal. No, because you can't. He did something really interesting. You had to have signed up for Tidal
before
like 2 days before.
Yeah.
Like, damn. Like that's how you do an exclusive. That's like, I feel like he didn't, I feel like Tidal actually like, worked out for this particular exclusive considering the content, considering the artist and considering like everything else, like, yo, the people that were on Tidal, they get this and everyone else has to scrounge.
Which we did. And then he also talks about, it's like, y'all gonna steal my record from Tidal. And I like, and he's like, honestly, I don't care.
No. And that's okay. Like this is a whole other conversation we can have that we always have.
Yeah.
It's like, yes, we're going to steal the record because music is like, you just can't keep it. Sorry.
Well,
What are you going to say, Josh? You going to buy it?
Yeah.
Where?
On iTunes, when it's on iTunes.
It ain't coming to iTunes. Is it?
Actually, I think it's on Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah, because he still has to make money. He still can make money.
Right. I've heard. Oh, shit. Yo, man, that was a lot of music.
Yeah.
That was a lot. I feel like we put in some minutes on these things. Yeah. I've learned something. I've come out like a better person from this.
Yeah. Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling real good. What do you got coming? Like, is there, what's yet to come? I mean, 2017 has been a big,
we're in month seven, starting off month seven. July 2nd. It's been a big year.
It's been a big year thus far. There's more to come.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, no one knew Jay-Z was releasing a record a month ago.
Nope.
And no one knew Kendrick was releasing a record 2 months ago.
Right, exactly.
So
I think Kendrick has another album coming. There's all these, what you call it?
Theories.
Conspiracy theories. Yeah. I think he's going to have another one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe look, Funk Wave Bounces Volume 1. That only implies.
Volume 1, exactly.
It's sort of like maybe Volume 1's the daytime version. You're on the beach, you're listening to it, and Volume 2 is the sexy version. It's like Justin Timberlake when he released 2020 Experience.
Yep.
Side A was like, hey, this is what you listen to during the day.
Yeah.
Side B is when like the lights turn purple. And you got a special lady friend in your house and you try to like, it's the dirty club version, as he called it.
Has anyone capitalized on Philips Hue and what that means for sex? I mean, like, I'm working on it. I feel like Sonos tries to do that.
No.
They literally say like, you have more sex if you have Sonos. Like that's part of their marketing. And Philips Hue should really get on this purple light shit.
Yeah.
They should really start having commercials that are like,
yo,
dim those lights. This is a special part of Tag Age where we both use our radio sexy voices.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I shouldn't have.
You skipped over Otis. That's my favorite video of Jay-Z's.
Life is hard. Conclusion?
Yeah. What do you got?
I want to end with that. Hey, I finished Kevin Hart's book.
Yeah.
And I'm like still like stoked on that you worked on something involving this dude.
Yeah.
And that you call it like a stoke video or like a promo video or whatever.
Promo anything.
So I watched the book. And I
listened to the book.
Sorry, I listened to the book. And then I went.
You watched The Throne.
I can't make this up. And very satisfying journey. It's 10 hours long.
Yeah.
It's a long thing.
Yeah.
Like usually ebooks of this size, in my opinion, like they're usually like 6 hours or something.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 hours usually.
It's like he's doing stand up.
Right.
I wanted to say, like, it's cool that you did the video. But then I read the book. Listened to the book. And then I went back to the video. And it's like this. It's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's a true, like, not rags to riches. But he talks about, it's similar to the Jay-Z thing, where you have like this real story, like, yo, I wrote a check that I was, you know, he's an entertainer, and like that life can like really take it out of you.
Yeah.
And so like he just tells the story is like, listen, everyone, I wrote a check that basically like I needed that night to work out. I wrote a check on a variable.
Right.
Basically it's like, when it comes time for it to pass, like I better have made enough money that evening for it to pass. Like basically wrote a check for the hotel,
right,
but he had a show that night. And so there's like full of like stories that like once these people get humanized, it's just super enjoyable. So
yeah, it's like we were talking earlier about Vince Staples. Once we learn who he is as a person, we enjoy the music more.
Exactly. We're able to enjoy the content.
Yeah.
So, but also having a friend that had worked on something that he used to promote himself, like I had another little attachment to it. So
yeah,
like basically it's a sweet book. You worked on something like at a time in his life that was like,
it was a promotional thing.
But like, I'm like, damn, like it's not like I'm involved, but
you were emotionally involved.
I was emotionally involved with it. just like,
You're emotionally involved in most of the things I end up doing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, because you text me.
I text you constantly.
So no, it's just like I can't recommend. I think you should listen to it. I don't think it's fine if you read that book that he wrote.
Uh-huh.
But he narrates it himself.
Yeah,
and it's 10-hour stand-up, pretty much.
Yeah, those books that are memoir-esque are always improved.
Right.
When the author is really is reading it.
Exactly. Because they know, like they know what they really meant by the passage.
Yeah.
And then, come on, Sonos, like you got to get Audible, dude. What are we doing?
Well, you had Audible and then you lost them.
I know. So we need to get them back.
Yeah.
What's your thought right now?
Oh man, I don't know.
Do you have any thoughts?
I don't really have any thoughts. I've just been writing this 444 like the last few days,
dude. I feel
obviously like, I thought about it a lot.
Exactly. I feel like your perspective, like truly, like I will listen to it as a different album. Do you want to listen to the album while we play Diablo?
Sure.
Does it sound pretty good?
Yeah.
I feel like episode 31 is like, it started strong.
Yeah.
It went places. I'm a different person now. Things definitely happened.
And
now we're at a strong finish.
Yeah.